In 1872, Josiah Holland wrote a Christmas song that many of you may know. It became wildly popular. It was probably the essence of the culture of that time, and it was published in 179 hymnals, especially among our Methodist friends. The first line of this Christmas carol is the title of the song, and it goes like this. There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry, and the star rains its fire, while the beautiful sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. Without a doubt, the celebration of Christmas is filled orally with songs. There are songs in the air everywhere during the Christmas season. Time moves on, and in 1950, another Christmas song came along the scene, and I believe it probably also described the culture of the day. It became one of the most popular songs of the culture. And the first line of this song is also the title of this song. And it goes, silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city, ring-a-ling. Hear them ring, soon it will be Christmas Day. Now, in some ways, I think that song is more representative of how most Americans view what they call the real, in quotes, meaning of Christmas. Well, I want to suggest another song that has crept into our lives. It's a song that is sung by millions of people, perhaps silently, but with real feeling. The title of this song is also in the first line of the song. It's a hymn. It goes like this. Christmas is over. Thank God it's over. I am so weary and sick of the songs. I've gained more weight. I've lost more sleep. Thank God it's over. Now let's move on. How sad. The season when so many rich blessings flowed from God to us that people should be bah and humbug about celebrating the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Many of us have turned it into a long and exhausting party. It used to start in December, and now it starts, it seems like, in August or something. It's terrible. How sad. Well, guess what? Christmas is not over. Christmas is not over. It will not be over until King George stands up. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm referring to that famous story when King George II stood during the premiere of Handel's Immortal Messiah, the oratorio Messiah, and his wonderful setting of Revelation 11:15, which says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah! 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 The King is coming. Christmas is not over. Advent is not over. There's going to be a second act coming our way, and it's going to be the cosmic culmination of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. There will be a song in the air that every ear will hear. The King is coming. Oh, we've talked about this many, many times. But I'm not sure that we often get it. I'm not sure that we truly understand some of the things that we've heard such as what the angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Christmas will not be over until the kingdom of God is established forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, you say, yes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen. But I'm convinced that many of us have spiritual myopia when it comes to the things that we read about his kingship. For instance, we can miss the fact that our king gave an inaugural address. It's found in Luke 4. He opened the book of Isaiah and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And then he added a great big amen to that reading when he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And we also miss his definitions, I think, of his kingdom, especially in his parables that we find in Mark, which begin with these words, a number of them. He said, "The kingdom of God is like dot, dot, dot." Is like what? Well, one of them he said is, "The kingdom of God is like little seeds that grow and mature into a huge harvest." And we can also glance over the very reason that he was crucified. John 19. We read, "Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" Now that was not just a cynical message from Herod to all of those who passed by that day. That was also God's message, God himself sending a message to every person in history: Jesus Christ is King. And the King is coming again. I'm so afraid that we will miss a profound truth. God did not save us only to escape eternal damnation. God also saved us to help his kingdom come here on earth. In that prophecy from Isaiah that Jesus read, it talks about preaching and proclaiming. Who does he want to do the preaching and the proclaiming? You. Not him. Not just me. You. In those parables that describe the kingdom of God, Jesus talks about planting seeds and harvesting the crop of human souls. Who does he want to do that? You guessed it. You. Not just him. You. Do you want Jesus to come again? Do you want his kingdom to be established here on earth? Of course you do. Then what do you need to do about that? You should do what you were saved to do. You should be a kingdom builder, brothers and sisters. A kingdom builder. Here are some powerful words of Jesus. They come from Matthew 11, verse 12. He said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." I know you understand what the translation means with the word men. It means all of mankind. He let us know that the kingdom of God is very dynamic. The kingdom of God is always, it's on the move. It's always doing something. And we who are subjects of that kingdom are to be busy helping it to come into fulfillment. But, and here is a significant but, when the second advent comes, it's going to be one big interruption. An interruption of what? An interruption of your personal kingdom. Interruptions can turn our lives upside down. Just think about 2020. COVID, pandemic, and how everything has been upside down. It was a massive interruption of all of our personal kingdoms, and still is. When those devastating fires erupted again in California last August, can you imagine having a frantic knock coming to your door saying, "Wake up, get out right now, you don't have time, move." Interruption. When Hurricane Laura hit Louisiana the same month, can you imagine the interruption of many families and workers as they experienced the mandatory evacuation of their homes? Can you remember seeing on TV those lines of cars of people trying to escape their vulnerable communities from the calamity that was upon them before it was too late? Can you imagine being in one of those lines and wondering about your home and wondering about your business, destroyed in the aftermath of all that? Massive, scary interruptions of personal life. Typically, you and I do not enjoy interruptions. We do not tend to see them as blessings in our lives. However, I read a story I wanted to share with you. I'll read it. Saturday night of Thanksgiving weekend, and the Coconut Grove was packed. Waiters were setting up extra tables to handle the diners. The overflow from the dining room surged down the narrow stairway to the Melody Lounge. This dimly lit basement bar offered a South Seas ambiance with artificial palm trees and driftwood and rattan and a ceiling draped in satin blue. The only illumination came from behind the bar, supplemented by low wattage bulbs hidden in the palms. And even this was too bright for one young man. He reached up, unscrewed a bulb, and settled back into the arms of his date. Like many others there, he was in uniform. It was 1942. The United States had been fighting World War II for many months. Dr. Vincent Senna was having dinner that night in the Coconut Grove. And then he was paged because one of his patients had gone into labor. Interruption. Grumbling. Senna rushed to the hospital in time to deliver the baby and save his own life. Because after he left, for some unknown reason, the Coconut Grove burst into flames and over 490 people died in the smoke and the flames. The interruption that ruined his evening also saved his life. Well, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And when it comes, it's going to be a cosmic culmination of God's plan. And it will come as a massive interruption to your personal kingdom. How are you going to respond? Now, every time I read Matthew chapter 24, I'm reminded of how this event is going to shake the foundations of everyone's world. Will we be here when that happens? We don't know. Possibly. I can tell you this. The whole year of 2020 has made me more aware of God's promise of that interruption. The signs of His coming seem to be shouting at me. This is the passage to which I am referring, one that I suspect that you know very well. Matthew 24, Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Brothers and sisters, that is going to be a massive interruption. If it were to take place right now, today, or very soon, what would it interrupt in your life? Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? The prophets said, "A king will come to Bethlehem." The angels said, "A king will come to his people." John the Baptist said, "The king will come and baptize with fire." And Jesus said that he, the king, would come like a thief in the night. Are you ready? Are you prepared for that interruption? Mark Kagan was part of a tour with a group to the Holy Land. And he said that one day his group was in the upper room in Jerusalem. And some of you have been there. And some of you were there with me, actually. And you can envision the place. He said, "We were there and we were worshiping and we were singing. And then we left the upper room to walk to the Mount of Olives. And on the way, we encountered an Orthodox Jewish man who told us that he was also walking to the Mount of Olives. And then he told them why. And this is what he said. 'We Orthodox Jews are watching the things that are happening in the world, and we cannot help to come to any other conclusion than that the Messiah's coming must be near, near at hand. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and I'm going there. I go there every day that I may be ready to give him a welcome.'" I love that. And when I read that testimony, I could not help but think, of a contrast in my life. Even though I do not live in Jerusalem, I could also make a spiritual pilgrimage to the Mount of Olives every day so that I would be there to welcome him. But I do not. In my mind and in my heart, I want to, but in reality, I'm too busy with my personal kingdom to allow such an interruption as that. My days are full. And if they are not full, I find ways to entertain myself. And then I fill up the time I do have. I don't want to assume that any of you are like me, but are you? There's a song in the air. And that song seems to be saying, he is coming soon. There are other songs in the air. And they are saying, don't focus on that. Focus on whatever makes you feel happy. And there's yet another song in the air. A song that is a lie. It's a song of self-deception. And it says, Christmas is over. Thank God it's over. No, Christmas is not over. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Don't be surprised. Amen? Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, how we long for Jesus Christ's return. How we long for that interruption. And that your kingdom would come, Lord Jesus, forever and ever and ever. May we all be ready. May we all be there to welcome you. I pray in the name of Christ. Amen.